Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bud. I think my favorite Easter egg was the Cadbury egg.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the Cadbury
it's
egg.
It's pure sugar. My goodness. Good morning, church. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
If we haven't met before, my name is Chris Kendall. I'm one of the pastors here at Concord, and so very happy that you are joining with us today. Today we're not just gathering to celebrate a holiday. We're gathering because everything changed one Sunday morning outside of Jerusalem. Right, a stone was rolled away. A tomb that was once sealed was now opened. And the Savior that sin and death and hell thought that they silenced walked out of the grave. No event in history carries with it more hope, more power, or more personal relevance than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus truly rose from the dead, then everything he said was true, and it changes everything. Matthew's resurrection account gives us more than a report. It reveals two very different responses to the same empty tomb. One group runs with wonder to tell the good news, and the other runs with fear to spread a lie. Both have seen the same evidence, but only one is able to find new life. And the question on this Easter morning isn't what happened back then, but it's what will I do with it now? So we're going to be looking at that Matthew 28 passage that we just heard and follow along with the story of the first Easter. So Matthew writes, very first part there in Matthew 28:8, the women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were frightened, but they were also filled with great joy, and they rushed to tell the disciples the angel's message. Now think about everything that these women had just experienced, or all of what everybody had experienced at this point. Right, the crucifixion had just happened days earlier. There was a stone that had a Roman seal that was guarding the grave. All of the hope that they had turned into despair because Jesus was gone. And then suddenly, right, there's light and there's angels and there's the empty tomb. It's no wonder why they were trembling, why they were shook. But look at how they reacted. Instead of freezing with fear, they moved forward in obedience. They didn't have all of the answers. They didn't have the proof yet, but they had a message. They had a message and they ran with it. They did what Jesus asked them to do. Right? Isn't that the very nature of faith? That faith isn't the absence of fear. It is obedience in the midst of it. And it's in that obedience that something miraculous begins to happen. Verse 9 says, as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. Right? As they went. Really, we could rephrase that this morning and simply say, as they obeyed. They moved forward with what they knew at the time. And because they moved forward with what they knew, Jesus met them on the way. Jesus didn't meet them back at the tomb. He didn't meet them later on when they were with the disciples. He met them right there on the road of obedience. And this is what the risen Christ continues to do today. Right? He meets the searching heart. He meets with the trembling believer. He meets the one who is taking those very first steps of faith. This is a part of the good news that we celebrate today, that we don't have to have everything figured out. You simply have to start moving towards him. And when we do that, when we take that step towards Jesus, Jesus will meet us on the way. Because Jesus still meets people on this road of obedience, right? We take that one step and he will meet you with his living grace, because sometimes the greatest miracles happen as we go. And Matthew goes on to say this, that after they did this, they ran to Jesus, they grasped his feet and they worshiped him. Right? They grasped his feet. Why did they do that? They did it because they wanted to be sure. Right? In ancient thinking, that touching feet was to make sure that what they were experiencing wasn't an illusion or a spirit. That when they touched Jesus, Jesus was real. He was solid. He was flesh and bone. The very same feet that were pierced with nails were now warm and alive in their hands. And they just didn't see him from a distance and shout from afar. They held on to him. They touched the one who was crucified. Faith became personal and physical and real. And what is their immediate response when they grasp Jesus? They worship. Right? Jesus doesn't ask them to take pictures. He doesn't tell them to record the moment or to go and analyze it. Right? When we meet the risen Lord, the only right response is to bow before him in worship. You know, the resurrection is not meant to be debated like it's some distant theory. It is meant to be experienced. It moves us from hearing about Jesus to truly encountering him. From about knowing things about Jesus to knowing Jesus. But think about the transformation that was occurring. Right, just 3 days later, these disciples were broken and hopeless. The women were on their way carrying spices to anoint a corpse. Their hope was buried alongside with Jesus. But when Jesus stood among them alive, everything changed and doubt gave way to worship. You know, maybe this morning you've stood at a distance spiritually. You believe in God, but it's something that you keep at an arm's length. Perhaps it's a question or a wound or a disappointment, maybe guilt that keeps you from truly coming close. But hear this. Jesus is not waiting for perfect understanding. He is waiting for an open heart. He is the same Savior today, inviting you to worship and believe. Easter is God's invitation to us. It's an invitation to make faith personal. Because Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. Jesus calls your name. And then Jesus says this to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Now, these words reveal a heart of grace, right? He calls the disciples my brothers. You know, these were the same group of guys that were with Jesus in the upper room. And then as soon as trouble came about, they scattered. They fell asleep when Jesus was praying. They ran away when he was arrested. They denied even knowing him as he was suffering. And yet the very first message from the risen Savior isn't, "Go tell those cowards I'm disappointed in them." He says, "Go tell the brothers. Go tell my brothers." Right? That's the miracle of God's grace. The cross forgives our sins. The resurrection restores our relationship. The disciples' story doesn't end with failure. It begins again with forgiveness. Because Jesus specializes in restoring broken people and repurposing failing lives. And he entrusts the greatest news to ordinary, broken people like us. To people like the women who followed him in faithfulness, in love. And Jesus says, "Go and tell." You know, evangelism didn't begin in a pulpit. It began at an empty tomb. These women who were once filled with fear now became preachers of the resurrection. They went out to tell others about the good news. We have seen the risen Lord. Likewise, we who know Jesus, we who have met the risen Lord, need to do the exact same thing. To tell people that we too have seen Jesus. And then Matthew gives us a contrast. While the women go to hurry to bring the good news, another group hurries to spread confusion. Guards, terrified by what they had seen and experienced, ran to the chief priests and they told them everything. The leaders meet quickly. They pay the soldiers a large bribe and they say, you must say that Jesus' disciples came during the night while you were sleeping and they stole his body. Right? Even on the very first Easter, there were attempts to explain away the truth. But the lie collapses under its own weight. Right? If they were asleep, how would they know what was happening? How could this group of frightened fishermen overpower trained Roman guards or move a sealed stone without waking them? I mean, it's a desperate story, to say the least. And the desperation doesn't end there. Matthew adds to the story. He says that this story spreads continually today. It's spread among the Jews, and it is still told today. Right, in other words, from the very first Easter till now, people have always found a way to explain away the resurrection. And the question isn't whether people will respond to the empty tomb. The question is, how will they respond? Some will hear about the empty tomb and bow and believe. Others will hear about the empty tomb and refuse and rationalize it. Every Easter, the world will divide into these two groups, right? The one who will embrace the risen Lord and the ones who will bury the truth behind or beneath excuses. Unfortunately, I think it's a problem of the heart. Right? We often will resist the truth that will change us because it demands a surrender. The resurrection doesn't just challenge our theology, it calls for a decision. If the tomb is empty, then Jesus Christ is Lord. If death has been defeated, then your life can never be the same. What about you? The resurrection demands a response. Easter is not a myth. It is one of the most historically attested, life-altering events in history. The empty tomb is God's declaration that sin can be forgiven, that evil will not win, that death does not have the final word. When Jesus steps out of that empty tomb, he opens the way for us to step out of spiritual death and into life. Jesus isn't some historical figure for us to admire. He is the living Savior that we are called to follow. Now, maybe you've come to the service this morning like the women. You've come with mixed emotions. You've got hope and you've got doubt. You've got fear and this longing all tangled up together. Perhaps you faced loss, disappointment, even spiritual dryness. The risen Christ wants to meet you right on the road, right where he says to you, don't be afraid. Right? Easter is God's declaration that sin doesn't get the last word, that shame doesn't get the last word. Certainly, death does not get the final word. Jesus gets the final word. And that word is alive. And so if you hear anything this morning, hear this. The same Jesus that met the women halfway is walking your road today. He knows the weight that you carry. He knows the doubts and the regrets that you have. And Jesus is here, not in condemnation, but in love. And he is saying to you, don't be afraid. Come to me. because you can begin again today. You can step out of guilt and into grace. You can step out of death and into life. The risen Jesus is offering you a forgiveness and a future. If you've never personally trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, Easter is the perfect time to do so. Because you can own your own resurrection right here and right now. You know, simply have your heart cry out, "Risen Lord, I believe that you are alive. I believe that you died for me, that you rose again to give me new life. Jesus, I ask you that you forgive me of my sin, and I surrender to you as my Savior and Lord. Lead me this day forward in the power of your resurrection." Amen. When you pray a prayer like that, the miracle of Easter will unfold into your life, because the grave is no longer the end. It's no longer your end. Hope is now your beginning. The women left the tomb with joy because they knew that Jesus was alive. You can walk out of this sanctuary today with that same exact joy, because the tomb is not empty. It's not just empty in Jerusalem, but it's not empty in every life that welcomes the risen Christ. So make that decision for Jesus today. Bow your heart, bow your knee, bow your life, your will. And ask Jesus into your life. Let us pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for you. We could spend the rest of our lives trying to say thank you, and it would never be enough. And not only do you buy us back from sin and death, but you give us eternal life. A gift that we can't earn, a gift that we can't buy. Not only do you give us eternal life, you give us the promise of your Holy Spirit. Not only do you give us eternal life and the promise of your Holy Spirit, but you give us the promise to never leave us or forsake us. And the list of blessings go on and on and on. Jesus, thank you for dying for us so that we can be truly free. We can be free from the chains of sin. We can be free from the memories of shame. We can be free from the guilt of our decisions. Because you are the beginning and you are the hope. Thank you, Jesus, for living, dying, and rising for each one of us. And Jesus, it's in your name that we sing and we praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Church, let's do exactly that. Let's stand together as we sing our final hymn this morning, hymn number 310, "He Lives." You know, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old at a camp called Wesley Woods. It's a camp that's outside of Titusville, and that was the camp that my church went to. It's a lot like Jamonville. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday. I couldn't tell you the exact day. I just know it happened. Where I gave my life to Jesus, and my life changed. It changed. Have things gone always great? No, of course not. Life happens. But I was never alone. Jesus was with me every step of the way. And that's what made those difficult times bearable. Because my Savior was walking alongside of me. That's the Savior who wants to be a part of your life. And so this Easter, celebrate him. Celebrate the risen Christ who longs to be a part of your life. Receive that gift. Let us pray. Gracious God, again, thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, the reason why we gather, the reason why we come to church, Jesus is alive. Jesus defeated sin and death in the grave, and that changes everything. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this for us. Thank you for the freedom, the grace, the blessings that you want to give us. And Jesus, may we receive the gift. May we take it and run with it and worship you. Jesus, it's in your name that we sing and we praise and we give thanks. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful, wonderful Easter.